This is City on the Hills podcast. We hope this message becomes a revelation in your heart and will encourage you to live a Christ-centered life. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Here's today's message.
We are launching our brand new series, which I'm so excited about. It's called Bigger Than You Think. Can you say bigger than you think? I've learned that God's plans and God's purposes is bigger than you think. And we're going to take a few weeks and we're going to go through the book of Ruth. And the book of Ruth is only four chapters. And you don't see a lot of direct interaction between God and his people in the book of Ruth. But you see God working and weaving things together behind the scenes. And Ruth is an amazing story. It's an amazing story of redemption. It's a story of God doing the impossible. God choosing the most unlikely vessels to do the most extraordinary things with. That's what this book is all about. And I've learned that this book actually starts off in a season. And actually, if you want to go and study the book, I'd like to encourage you to go and watch the YouTube on the Bible Project. They did a little thing on the book of Ruth. Absolutely excellent. And I also want to encourage you, it's only four chapters. Go and read through the book of Ruth. Could you read through it every week over the next few weeks? We're going to do it over the next 5 weeks. We're going to do it into November. And the book of Ruth, for me, is an amazing picture. We did not understand that we'll be coming out of a bit of a lockdown season, out of a famine season. We did not know that we would be coming out of that when we planned this with our preaching team. And when we planned this book, we've been wanting to preach through the book of Ruth for many, many years. And now is the time. I feel like God has just now unlocked the exact time that he wants us to speak about this book. So we're going to cover four things in this book. Today we're going to be covering who's with me. Can you look at the person next to you and say, tell them, who's with me? This is very important. Who's with you is very important. We're going to unpack that today. Next week, we're going to talk about the fact that God wants you and me to find favor. Finding favor. If you come out of a lockdown season, out of a season of obscurity, out of a season of almost exile, out of a season there's a lot of things that we're not certain about, a lot of uncertainties. If you come out of a season of uncertainty, you need to find favor. That's what we're going to look about next week. Then the week after that's going to be an open week, the 1st of November. We'll take a bit of a break, and then we're going to go back into the third part. And this is going to be powerful. The third part, we're going to talk about unlocking promises. Unlocking promises. How God wants to unlock promises in your life because God is working behind the scenes. Remember that song? This is the anthem of this series. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. That's what we're going to be learning about God over the next 4 weeks. And then the last week, we're going to look at the fact that it's bigger than you think. You think your life is small. You think you just got to know this person. You think you just prayed. It's bigger than you think. It's far bigger than you think. And I believe God wants to come and include some people, some Tanishas, and some, I don't know who you are. He wants to come and include you. He wants to come and include you in his great plan. He wants to come and include you in his great destiny. He wants to come and make your insignificant moments, he wants to come and redeem them and make you a significant person that carries great weight and releases the life of God in your life. Can you give God praise for that? Isn't that exciting? So the word Ruth, the name Ruth comes from the Hebrew word ruot, which means a ruot, it says, which means friendship or association. And I believe that there's a friendship with God that needs to be unlocked. But there's also a friendship with the people of God that needs to be unlocked. If you do not understand the value of friendship with God and friendship with the people of God, loyalty to God and loyalty to your people, you're going to miss out on the destiny of God in your life. So Jesus, I want to pray for even, can we just welcome the people online that are watching with us? Let's give them a good City on the Hill welcome. In Jesus' name, we welcome you. We thank you for joining us. Thank you for putting your faith out with us. And I want to pray, Jesus, I pray that as we get into the first session, who's with me? God, that we would have a revelation from heaven. I don't want to speak. I want your spirit to minister in the mighty name of Jesus. People watching, even from another side of the other side of the world, even for us in this building, Holy Spirit, come, even like we showed us in the worship, come and show us the victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wow. So in uncertain times, this book starts off within the days of the judges. The days of the judges were very uncertain times. They did not have a clue where they were going. They were very uncertain. And there were these judges that were kind of ruling in order to keep things together. But there was no clear future. There was no clear future. And what we see what happened was that that Naomi and her husband Ahimelech, with their two sons, left Bethlehem. Can you say Bethlehem? Now, you're going to see the significance of this. They left Bethlehem. Where was Jesus born? So they leave Bethlehem, the house of bread, the place of bread, the place where the bread of life was born, the place where the bread of heaven was birthed into this, was ushered into the world. They leave Bethlehem and they go to Moab. Moab is a foreign place. Moab is a picture of the world. Moab is a picture of another people and another God. And Naomi and her husband Ahimelech, because of famine, because things are uncomfortable, because things are not going their way, because the minute, if Jesus is not enough for you, you're going to go and look for something somewhere else. You're going to go and try and find life and substance in something and someone else. And I'm here to say to you, friends, that sadly, nothing else will satisfy you. And so these three, Naomi with her husband and her these four people, go to Moab. And what happens is, her husband dies, so her covering, her security, her leadership dies. But her two sons marry two Moabite ladies. One is called Orpah, the other one's called Ruth. And it's amazing how these two young men marry these two girls. Now, you might say to me, Mark, these bad people, why did they leave Bethlehem? They went to Moab. Now God is finished with them. God's finished with Naomi. You're crazy, but God's not like that. God's got a way of taking your mess and making it a message. God's got a way of taking your greatest disappointments, your greatest hurts, your greatest mistakes, and he says, okay, now I'm going to work it together for your good and for my glory. Can you give him praise? Isn't that awesome? So it's in that moment where God comes and he says, okay, whoa, whoa, whoa. Even though the two sons die, sons, the promise. Remember, we've learned now that sons in the Old Testament speak of the promise. Naomi loses her covering, her authority, and she loses her promises. And so she calls herself Mara, which means bitter. She says, I've got no hope. I've got no future. She's lost so much. She's lost a husband. She's lost two sons. She's lost so much. And she's saying, I'm bitter because of it. I've lost too much. I've just lost too much peace. I've lost too much joy. I've lost too much security. I don't have a future. I don't have a hope. I don't feel like there's any more destiny for me. And yes, you can tell me I know the plans. God knows the plans that he has for me, plans to prosper me, but I'm not feeling it right now. And while I was praying for this morning, the Lord said to me, there's people in this room and there's people online that you've lost so much over the last few months or even few years that you think that it could never be restored back to you. She is so bitter and she's so hopeless that she says to her two daughters-in-law, she says to Orpah and to Ruth, please leave. I'm going alone. Please leave. I'm going alone. And you know what happens? She doesn't understand that God has a plan. Can you say God has a plan? She doesn't understand that God is doing a great work even though she can't see it. She doesn't understand that her life is not just her little life, but her life can be redeemed by heaven. Hello? God is working behind the scenes. God is working behind the scenes when it comes to your marriage. God's working behind the scenes when it comes to your children. God is working behind the scenes when it comes to this very country that we live in. Can you say amen? Amen. God is working behind the scenes. And I believe that today God wants you to know that it's bigger than you think. Can you tell the person next to you, he's talking to you? I'm serious. Mark Anthony, I'm talking to you. Am I right? I'm talking to you, Ruan. I'm talking to you. Watch this. Because it's bigger than you think. Tanisha and Carita, their family come to our church, just join. Hey, look, let's just, and God starts unlocking gifts in them. Yeah. And now this young lady, God's going to start unlocking more stuff in her life. And God's unlocking more stuff in, I'm just using you as an example, but I'm saying there's so many of us. If I had to start listing the names and I look at you right now, and I see you, you joined this church, And I don't see the future that you have right now, because when you joined the church, you did not have the hope that you have right now. When you joined the church, you were not walking in the anointing that you're walking in right now. When you joined this family, you did not have the hope and the future that you have right now. When you joined this family, you might not have had the person that you are wanting to marry right now, Luigi. Can I testify? I was a teenager, and my dad said to me, you need to be confirmed in the Methodist church. So I started going to church. I started going to a family, because I found that there's treasures in the family of God. There's treasures in the people of God. Ruth had a desire. She had a decision to make. Orpah says, I'll go back to my people, and I'll go back to my gods. But Ruth says to Naomi, no, I'm going to go with you, with your people, and I'm going to be with your God. I want your people, and I want your God. And we were a family. I worked on Sundays as a teenager. I was making money. I worked 12 years old, 13 years old, 14 years old, 15, 16. My dad says, no, stop working on Sundays. You're going to church. Start serving in church. 17, I'm serving in church. 18, I'm serving in church. Serving in the evening celebration. And I see this beautiful young lady. I see her walking down the aisle. I'm like, shee, help me, Jesus. I'm like, she's way out of my league, my man. I'm like, who am I? You know what I'm saying? And she starts testifying about how impassionate she is about Jesus and how much she loves the Lord and how God's faithful. And I'm like, whoo, whoo, yes. And I remember saying to one of my friends, I said, that's nicer. She's nicer. But I'm thinking, this is way out of my league. And she was dating someone else, but you know, the Lord knew better. Come on, give Him praise. And you know, my wife walked in, and I remember finding myself with the people of God and the God of my people. And in the midst of that, I found a treasure that God had prepared for me. Today I'm married. I would not have the 3 kids I have today. I would not be leading the church that I have today. The Bible says, you finds a wife, finds a good thing, and obtains favor from the Lord. I would not have the properties that we have today if it wasn't for my wife. Because the kingdom of heaven is like a field. And the man finds a field, and then he finds a treasure. And what does he do? He buys the whole field to find the treasure. Most people want the treasure without the field. They want the blessings of God. They want the favor of God. They want the promises of God, but they don't want the people of God. Paul writes to the church in Corinth. He says, I'm God's workman. You are God's field. City on Hill Church, you're a field. Online, if you're not connected to a local church, you need to be connected to a local church, because God wants you to be in a field. Because in a field is where the treasure is. And when you find the treasure, you buy the field to get the treasure. Come on, give Him praise. I learned a powerful thing. Uncle Barney used to say this to me. He said, show me your friends and I'll prophesy your future. Show me your friends and I'll prophesy your future. Friends, choosing a local church is one of the most important decisions of your life. Hello? Let's get to Ruth chapter 1, verse 14. At this, they wept aloud again. They're weeping. They're desperate. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Watch this. Ruth understands something. That man, oh man, am I going to go back to what I know? Am I going to go back to what I'm used to? Or am I going to embrace the God that is the real God? Because listen to this, friends. Tough times come, but you don't have to do this alone. Ruth needed Naomi, and Naomi needed Ruth. They needed one another. Verse 15 says, look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. I've learned something about people. You cannot separate people from their gods. I said something now that's very profound. You cannot separate people from their gods. You cannot separate me from my God. Because Your God is what gives you value. Your God is what gives you significance. Your God is what gives you purpose. Your God is what gives you meaning in life. Your God is what gives you hope. Your God is what gives you strength. Your God is intertwined in who you are. Now, atheists tell me, but there's no God. Well, you're worshiping a God of self and humanism. That's your God, Mr. Atheist. And if you're far from God yet today, I want to tell you this. Everyone worships. They might be worshiping sport. They might be worshiping sex. They might be worshiping money. But everyone worships because everyone has a God. But if you've got the true and living God, I'm telling you, friends, you will hold on to that God because he is the King of glory. And Ruth understands this, that if she goes with Orpah to her people, she's going to not only go to her people, she's also going to their gods. But if she goes with Naomi, she's not only going with Naomi, she's going with Naomi's God. That's why choose your friends very nicely. The people closest to you, because their gods will become a temptation to you. The people closest to me are the people that they have a love for Jesus. Man, they've got the fragrance of Christ. I mean, I don't care. We reach out to lost people, people far from God all the time. But we do that with love. And we do that from a place of community. But you will not find me isolated from community trying to be a blessing to someone. I'm here to say, friends, that your closest people in your life need to be people that are on fire for God. Can you give him praise for that? It's amazing. See, Ruth had no idea what God was going to do with her life. Could I say this over you, City on Hill Church? You've got no idea what God's going to do with your life. God has got a bigger plan than you could ever think or imagine. He's going to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above all that you could think or pray for. Because Ruth went from famine to family. Ruth went from great loss to great gain. Ruth went from poverty to abundance. We're going to see it over the next few weeks. Ruth went from hopelessness to hopefulness. Because it's bigger than you think. See, I've learned that God wants to call us out of dark places. He wants to call us out of places of discouragement, out of places of despair, because it says in the New Testament that he called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We are the ecclesia. That Greek word ecclesia, some people have translated it as church, but it actually means the called out ones. That is what it means to be the church. We are called out to be part of the people of God, to be on the mission of God, for the purposes of God, for the glory of God. The ecclesia was a word that they used. It was a war term that when they called people to come and be part of the war, to come and fight in the battle, they would call them the ecclesia, the called out ones. The ones that were called out for a purpose. See, Dudley Daniel used to say this, what you get saved out of is not as important as what you get saved into. Ruth, what you get saved out of Moab is not as important as what you get saved into Bethlehem. This is powerful. If you're far from God here this morning, you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You've drifted away from him, or if you've never started following him, I want to say this to you. Jesus wants to call you out of darkness today in Jesus' name. And Jesus, when Saul met Jesus, Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Because many people tell me, yo, Mark, you know what? I like Jesus, but I don't like the church, eh? I've never seen a headless body walk around. And I've never seen a bodiless head walk around. Because you cannot separate Jesus from the church. He says to Saul, 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 why do you persecute me? Saul didn't persecute Jesus. He persecuted the people of God. He persecuted the church of God. Jesus says, I and my church are one. You cannot separate us. Come on, give him praise. This is why social media is very dangerous. Because you can be in community in a fake way. You can be connected without being truly, honestly, authentically committed. It's like me saying to Marie, hey, love, we're going to have an amazing marriage. Let's do it on FaceTime. Oh, baby, give me a kiss. Come on. Here's the question. Will we be fruitful? Good luck with that one, buddy. I'm not saying you can't use social media and you can't use media to get the gospel out, but you cannot replace community on that thing. It's impossible. God calls people together for purpose, for mission, for intimacy with Him and authenticity with one another. Come on, give Him praise. That's amazing. You need someone in your corner and you need to be in someone's corner. I remember just around about 12, midnight one night, Marie and I, we were at home. And a friend of mine phoned me, one of my brothers, one of my ecclesia friends, one of my called out brothers, my community. Dievalt, we were connected, we were in family, we were brothers together. And he phones me around midnight and he says to me, Mark, I'm not going to make it tonight, I'm going to take my life. And I didn't say to him, okay, no brother, let me pray a prayer of faith, hallelujah. I got into my car, I said to my wife, I'm going to my friend. And we took the guitar and we worshipped. And we prayed, and we wept together, and we read scriptures together right through the night. And about 4:30, he said to me, Mark, I feel I've got a release. And I remember driving home with such a sense of gratitude. God, thank you that I could be part of my brother's life. And I want to tell you today, friends, that man is firing for God. He's an inspiration to me. He's married. He's a man of faith. He's a man of grace. An absolutely amazing man. But he was in community. He had someone in his corner. And he's been in my corner as well. I want to ask you, who's in your corner? Who's there for you when the chips are down? Who's there for you when you don't have anything? Who's there for you when you've lost your job? Who's there for you when your husband wants to walk out on you, ma'am? Who's there for you when your child starts taking drugs? Who's there for you? No, Marcus, okay, I'll just come to church on a Sunday morning. Check in. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Out of there. Boom. No one knows me. No one cares. I never get a chance to care, and I never get a chance to be cared for. I'm telling you today, find your people, you'll find your God. Find your God and you'll find your purpose. Give Him praise. Verse 16, but Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Isn't it amazing? Even if you've lost everything, you can still hold on to God. Come on. Verse 17 says, where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Now, I brought something together here. I want to show you. Sorry, people online, you're just going to have to. I've learned this. There's this beautiful scripture in Proverbs chapter 27. Verse 17 says this. As iron sharpens iron, so we shape one another. As iron sharpens iron, so we shape one another. I'm here to say to you, friends, you need the body of Christ, and the body of Christ needs you. Just imagine your life was like this. Hey, I'm a believer. No one's shaping you, and God's not using you to shape anyone. The problem with this, though, sparks. Can you give Him praise? Peter, I can see Peter is laughing because he understands what I'm saying. The sparks, come here. You know what sparks are? Jay, what? You've got some streepies that I don't like. You've got some warts that I don't like. You've got some ways that I don't enjoy. Whoa! You offended me. I offended you. Watch this, friends. Watch this. The only way you get sharpened is if you're willing to persevere through the sparks. And it takes two to tango. You can't do it alone. You can't do it online, I'm sorry to say. No one's going to offend you on screen. They might offend you by what they say, but then you can just change the channel. You can just go and watch Hillsong, no problem. Don't let the enemy rob you from becoming everything that Jesus wants you to be.
Amen.
Don't let the enemy rob you. Because you're scared of the sparks, you miss out on the likeness and the maturity that Christ wants to unlock in you. Because you're scared of the sparks, you miss out on the destiny that God's got for you. I'm telling you now, Coretta and Tanisha, you guys had many opportunities in the last few years to leave the church. Many. Thank Jesus that you just kept on coming back. Kept on. Come on, let's give God praise for people that keep on coming back. If you're not experiencing sparks in your life, you're probably not sharpening someone, or someone's not sharpening you. Amen. Verse 19 says, so the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. Isn't it amazing how they came back to the house of bread? They came back to the place where Christ was born. Now, if you do not understand anything about the book of Ruth, we're going to unpack this in the, I don't want to give it away, but you're going to see how the book of Ruth has got Jesus woven all through it. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the life of God. It's all about the promises of God. It's all about the big picture of God. It's all about God including you in his grand picture, his greater vision. It says, when they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred up because of them, and the woman exclaimed, can this be Naomi? I want to ask you today, will you join us as we engage with Jesus together? Never forget this. Who you connect with is bigger than you think. I remember Marie and I, we found ourselves in a denomination, and we really love Jesus. We still love Jesus. But we were on a fast, like an 11-day fast. We wanted to fast 7 days, and then after 7 days, it was just too good. We said, let's carry on. God was doing stuff in our hearts, and we watched this video clip where they sing, we speak to nations, be opened. We speak to strongholds. And then it says, we speak to nations, the kingdom of heaven is coming to you. And we had this longing in our hearts to say, Jesus, we want to be part of a biblical expression of you. We want our people. We want to find our people. Until one day we were on holiday, we went to a church that was part of New Covenant Ministries International, NCMI. And Marie was weeping because she said to me, it's my people. Yeah, this is my people. You know, friends, there needs to be 100 churches in the city because there's hundreds of different kinds of people. City on Hill can't reach everyone, but you need to understand that if you join City on Hill, you're joining a family that's in more than 100 nations of the world. You're part of a people of God. You're part of a move of God that's far bigger than you could imagine. Thousands upon thousands of churches, of men and women running the gospel in persecuted nations and non-persecuted nations all over the world. And we were weeping. We were saying, God, we want to be part of this people. And we heard that there was a meeting. Someone unlocked a meeting for us. We went to a meeting in Johannesburg at Cornerstone Church. I was 21 years old. I was the only person with a suit and a tie at the meeting. Tumelo, you would like this. I was the only person with a suit and a tie. So I stood out like a sore thumb because they were my people, but I wasn't their person. Because they were all like hip and cool, my man. And so I remember worshiping the Lord. You know, just like we always worship. My wife and I always just, it's almost 20 years ago. And Bruce McAlpine comes, doesn't know us from a bar of soap, and literally, friends, we're talking in the year 2000, August, the year 2000, Bruce McAlpine comes to us, and he says, I've got a word from God for you. He prophesies over us. We become friends. Billy, we exchange numbers. Watch this. I went to the field, and I found a treasure. God used Bruce McAlpine to invest into our lives, opened a door for us onto team with him in Johannesburg, supported us with resources, finances, prayer, support, wisdom to come and plant this church, opened doors for us into the nations, connected us with Ian McKellar, people into Malaysia, into Singapore, connected us into different parts of the world, opened doors for us into Zimbabwe, literally helped us, held our hands while we were leading this church. And if I wasn't with my people, I wouldn't have found him. And if I wasn't, and God, if God didn't connect us, I wouldn't be living in this. And did he offend me at times? Woo! That guy has got an anointing for offense. Oh, broer, he's the spark champion. But you know what I learned? I found my people. And God unlocked my destiny. Can you give him praise? Come on, that's amazing, Jesus. Proverbs 13 verse 20 says, when you walk with the wise, you become wise. I don't know if that's on the screen. When you walk with the wise, you become wise. For a companion of fools will suffer harm. When you walk with the wise, you become wise like them. If you walk with fools, another translation says, Unkorni, you unravel. I want to ask you, the closest people in your life, the people you spend most of your time with, are their lives unraveling or are their lives signified with wisdom? That's why the enemy wants people out of church. That's why lockdown was such a negative thing against the church. I believe God was redeeming it. But lockdown is just a sign of, listen, the enemy doesn't want us together. Why? Because if he can keep us away from wise people, if he can keep us away from the field, if he can keep us away from the family of God, we're going to miss out on the destiny of God. Walk with the wise, you become wise. I had an hour and a half with Tyron Daniel this week. Had one of the hardest discussions, and I did not even agree with everything he said. And Bruce said to me on the phone, he said, Mark, it's safe when you submit it. Just be submitted. Martin van Duren, I don't know if he's a believer, but he said this. He said, you are the average of the five people you spend most of your time with. You're the average of the five people you spend most of your time with. So obviously up there is Jesus. Who are the other four? Are they prayer warriors? Are they people of faith? Are they people of the word? Are they people that serve? Are they people that love? Baptists, are they people of generosity? Are they people that live for the glory of God? Who are the four people other than Jesus? Because in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, Acts 4, 13 says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, watch this, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. Can you say ordinary? Ordinary men. They were astonished. They were astonished. They were astonished that they had, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. I'm amazed that when we spend time with God every day, more in the mornings and in the evenings and whenever you can, spend time with God. And you know what? When you spend time with the people of God for the glory of God, it's also an expression of spending time with God. Because like what you're doing this morning, this is an expression of spending time with God. When people see you tomorrow morning at work, will they take note that you have been Jesus? Let's stand. I want to ask the band to come to the front. Jesus, I realize that it's far bigger than we think. Church is far bigger than we think. Community is far bigger than we think. Who's with me is far bigger than we think. Jesus, we stand here and we pray, Lord, I don't want to cognitively, I don't want to, with our heads space, just try and convince or motivate anyone. Lord, I don't want that. I want inspiration by the power of the Spirit to grip our hearts, Lord, to show us that even though that Greek word, idioteses, even though we might be like idioteses, like people that people think, hey man, these oaks aren't very clever, they're not amazing in themselves. But when we spend time with Jesus, and that means we can't separate you from your people. Your people and you, when we spend time with you, when we find our people, it's in there that we find our treasures. Jesus. There's gifts of prophecy that you want to unlock in this room. There's gifts of evangelism that you want to unlock. There's gifts of mercy, gifts of leadership. Lord, even gifts of worship and prayer and tongues and interpretation of tongues. There's gifts of faith that you want to unlock in this church, God. And I know that some sharpening is needed. Iron sharpening, iron stuff is needed, God. Jesus, I pray that we will never, ever, ever fall consistently for the enemy's schemes. Let the King of my heart, the King of my heart and His people, let that be my connection. Friends, could you have a moment with God, just you and Jesus? May the King of your heart show you the bigness of what you're part of. Show you that your little story, your ordinary life can be an extraordinary reality, an eternal reality. Ruth's little life became an eternal life. We are still speaking about her today, thousands of years later. No one's speaking about Orpah. She chose her people and her God. Everyone today is still impacted by Ruth because she chose you and your people. In Jesus' name, let's open our hearts.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Don't forget to check out our website or visit City on a Hill International on Instagram or Facebook for our updates, celebration times, or ways you can get involved. We are also streaming our message on Facebook Live, so make sure you join us or share the post. Thanks again for checking out our podcast. We'll see you soon.